We have been talking broadband. We have been talking internet. We have been talking pine needles. We've been talking everything going on here. And Bernadine Joslin joins us this morning. She's the Public Policy and Engagement Director at the Blandin Foundation. Bernadine, thanks for swinging down this morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning. Hi. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I'm ignorant, and I'm going to ask you the question. What is the difference between broadband and internet?
That's a great question, John, and the answer is that broadband has to do with the capacity of the wire. So speed has to do with how many bits of information can go down your pipe or your wire in a second. Okay. So they talk about it as the speed per unit of information. And the definition of broadband is changing all the time. There's no real definition. It kind of, the way at the Blandin Foundation that we think about it is broadband is having enough capacity that you can do whatever you want so that the speed of your network is not a limitation on your economic productivity and what you want to do.
Okay. All right. So the reason I had you come down is I was reading an article about this woman who started a business in McGregor. She thought it was going to be the greatest thing in the world, and now she has to drive an hour or load a document for an hour to get to a business. And Aiken County is the worst county in Minnesota as far as...
That's right. It's the 86th out of 86 in terms of the access and the percentage of residents who live in Aiken County that have access to what the federal government now defines as broadband, which is 25 megabits upload speed. I'm sorry, I got it wrong. 25 megabits download speed and 3 megabits upload speed.
Why are they that way, and will they have the potential to get up to snuff with everybody else, up to speed with everybody
else? Well, it's really fun to get to talk about Aiken County. I know a little bit about them because they're one of the six communities that Blandin Foundation is working with the financial support of Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board in St. Louis County to help them get ready for and align their efforts so that they can get better broadband. And Ross Wagner over there, who is the Economic Development Director, has been leading that charge on it with a team, community people trying to do the hard work that they need to do to attract a provider. The reason Aiken's in such bad shape is that I would just baldly call it market failure. We heard a little bit about it with Chuck and Aaron, that there are not enough, basically it comes down to demographics. There are not enough paying customers per square mile to make it profitable for a for-profit telecommunications provider to make money on the network. And that's exactly why we need public policy solution for that in Minnesota. If we want to retain a rural option and retain a rural lifestyle as a possibility for people where they can live, where they can make a living where they live, we absolutely need broadband connections. Because you just can't participate in society today. You can't make a living. You can't get an education. You can't even, I don't know if you've been to McDonald's in town here and it says, hiring. Guess what? Apply online.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to apply online with a handheld phone or a mobile device. And that's why part of what's confusing about this debate for everybody is the understanding that we need to have both wireline connections in the ground. Fiber optic cable is the state-of-the-art, future-proof technology. We heard Chuck and Aaron speculating about some other future technology out there, but I'm here to tell you today, fiber optic cable is it. The electronics on the end may eventually have to be upgraded over time after 10 or 15 years, but that cable is speed of light. And until physics change, we find something faster than the speed of light, it's going to be fiber optic cable. So without some kind of subsidies to cover the cost, capital construction costs, it's very difficult to attract a provider to go into Aiken County and build a network.
Because it's all about money.
Well, what's so great about the co-op option, and we heard Aaron and Chuck talk a little bit about Paul Bunyan here in Itasca County, what's so great about co-ops is that it's not about the money, right? Co-ops is about the well-being of their membership well-being and community betterment and community prosperity. And because of that, because it's not about a profit, it's about the well-being of their customers. They're able to make business choices, and they have a business case model that's more generous and allows them to make investments that have a longer-term return on, you know, return on investment. So instead of needing to chase quarterly profits or annual, they can look 25, 30 years down the road and, you know, invest in that network and then take the time that they need to recoup those capital investment costs. So Paul Bunyan has been able to bring world-class, gigabit, symmetrical, you know, out-of-the-park internet to their service area, including Itasca County, because they are a co-op. And if you look on the map in Minnesota, where the best networks are, invariably, it's a co-op network.
Because I was driving on my road. I live on the Danson Road. I'm about 12 miles out and really in the middle of nowhere. And there they were, Mark on the road. And I stopped the dude and I said, hey, what's going on here? And he says, it's Paul Bunyan. And I thought, wow, there's only like 10 of us, 12 of us on that road. In my mind, I was just doing the numbers thinking, why would they do that?
Yeah. Well, if you think from a public policy perspective, it's, you know, this is one Minnesota. We're interdependent. Metro Minnesota depends on rural Minnesota and vice versa. And if we're going to have equal opportunity for everybody, and that's really what drives me in my work, is this idea of equal opportunity and equal access and a level playing field, you need to be able to offer connectivity to the internet. Otherwise, we're going to have depopulated rural areas. Who would want to go and live and stay in an area where you couldn't have access to the internet?
Yeah.
It's just not... It's not an option anymore.
So that brings me to that question about the lifestyle choice. Mm-hmm. You got somebody that wants to go in absolute nowhere land and mm-hmm. be by themselves, and do we owe it to them?
Well, you know, John, to me it's almost a political philosophy question, is do you believe that there should be a rural option, that people should have the choice to live wherever they want to live and be able to make a living where they want to live? And I think that, to me, it's pretty clear that it's for the greater good that option is retained for us in Minnesota. Otherwise, you're going to have more and more disparities between those who have access to internet and those who don't. And the beauty of an internet connection is that sitting in your house down the end of the road, you can, I mean, Aaron is a great example of this. You can create value, you can make a lifestyle, you can have an income and connect with people no matter where you are. And I think the idea that, you know, you made your choice, you live at the end of the road, you shouldn't have internet access, is short-sighted and just doesn't understand the interconnectivity of everybody, that it's, you know, as Paul Wellstone used to say, we all do better when we all do better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you think it's maybe a perception kind of, I think a lot of people think of the internet of you're on there and you're playing games, and they don't really see it as a valuable.
Are we educated enough?
Yeah. Do people understand its value? I mean, because Aaron made a living blogging, and I mean, he's really creating a, you know, a lifestyle, a source of income for him. I think a lot of people maybe think that the internet is just something that you're on there, you're playing games, you're maybe reading articles, and that there isn't a valued purpose to it.
Sure. Well, it's certainly the case, and that people use the internet to play games and for entertainment. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
And video is driving a lot of that, Netflix and stuff. But it's also true that you cannot fully participate in society without an internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right here in Itasca County in IASC, there's distance learning opportunities that are available through the internet that the kids in Deer River can take Ojibwe language classes with the kids in Longville over the internet. You can use the internet for accessible and affordable health care. Right here in Itasca County, there's a lot of county services that are available on the internet. They have all of the property ownership records up there. And so you're just not able to participate on a level playing field without it. And I think the fact that people use it for entertainment doesn't detract from the need to have it in order to just survive and thrive in our new information age.
You threw out a couple things, wired and wireless.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
So it's the difference between a fixed internet connection, which would be a fiber optic cable or a copper wire or DSL in the ground, an actual thing, and a mobile connection or a wireless connection, which is the signal that we get, you know, to use our mobile phones. People love mobile connections. I mean, we all have it in our pocket. You carry your internet in your hand. But for real economic development activities, to be able to, you know, do your job, you need a wireline. I mean, just think about trying to, as I said, fill out a job application or take a test or do anything on a mobile device. It's just not viable. But it really is a public policy dilemma. I'll give you an example. So in Minnesota, the governor's broadband task force recommended and the legislature approved broadband goals for our state, right? We said that by 2026, we want all Minnesotans to have access to 100 megabits down and 20 megabits up connection, which is a pretty decent standard. I mean, it's not world class, certainly. It's far below gigabit, what Paul Bunyan offers, but more or less, at least we have some goals. And the question of, does wireless count towards that goal? Is it good enough? I mean, we heard about Representative Pat Garofalo, chair of the House committee that's in charge of broadband funding decisions, and he announced to Minnesota that we have it solved. We have satellites now. And with a satellite connection, there's no need for any other wireline. But a lot of people will contend that that's not good enough to really create economic value. It's not. There's all kinds of issues around satellite data caps and cost and latency and reliability, quality of signal. But it doesn't take an investment to actually build a fiber. So one of the decisions we need to make as a state is, are we committed to having equal access, accessible broadband access to all people in Minnesota, regardless of what their zip code is?
We're speaking with Bernadine Joslin. She's the Public Policy and Engagement Director for the Blandin Foundation. Okay, before we let you go, how are you feeling about all this? What do you think? How's it going to go?
Well, from where I sit, what really matters is local leadership. And it's those communities that understand how important this is, that get together and do the hard work of organizing, that are going to hang in there and are going to get the infrastructure that they need and deserve. We heard in the earlier segment about how that worked in Itasca County. And it was the leadership of the county administration and IEDC, the Itasca Economic Development Corporation, in partnership with Paul Bunyan, that saw that this is something they had to get done, that we in Itasca County needed that to have a prosperous future. And as Aaron said, did a consumer-led campaign and convinced Paul Bunyan to come here. So I'm really optimistic, because more and more and more I'm seeing community leaders, county leaders, understand that this is something that is absolutely imperative for their communities and are willing to do the hard work to craft the kind of partnerships, because this is one of those hard things to do. We all got to be in. We all got to work together. All the sectors, the public sector and the private sector and the community, to get this done. So I'm optimistic, because I see a lot of good energy and a lot of dedication out there among our rural community leaders.
Thanks, Bernadine. Appreciate you swinging by.
Hey, it was fun. Thanks a lot.
That's Bernadine Joslin from the Blandin Foundation. It's the morning show on Northern Community Radio. Coming up, Sam Miltich is going to talk about a jazz camp with the Itasca Symphony Orchestra.